I'm the type of person that when I'm interested in a subject or a field of study or something along those lines, I'll often join a club or some kind of extracurricular to channel my interest and really dive into it. So that might mean joining a coffee club because I want to learn more about coffee and I enjoy drinking it. Or that might mean doing speech and debate for a good amount of time because I like arguing and researching a topic. But no matter what, whenever I join a new club or an extracurricular, or even if I join a class or something along those lines, inevitably, the first time I meet people in a group, we immediately have to delve into the icebreaker. Hello, and welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie On Icebreakers, and how I think there are much better options out there to get to know people. Now, as someone who, as mentioned, enjoys the occasional socialization and has joined too many clubs in my lifetime, I hate icebreakers. It's not necessarily because the idea of having something to break ice is terrifying to me. It's rather that the choices people choose to do so are oftentimes awful. Most of the time, they're questions that either make you think too hard, feel too awkward, or strike an odd balance that doesn't quite suit the situation. I personally think that icebreakers, as they typically are, do not break the ice. They cause panic and stress, as I often try to come up with a relatable fact about myself. Early on, I caught onto the idea that most people either use fun facts to get out of the attention or to stay in the attention. Basically, people will say crazy things to make themselves sound super cool or sometimes super boring to make them seem forgettable and not bring on attention from the people around them. It's very hard to find the midpoint, and I have been both people before, sharing something outrageously cool and something boring. And regardless, both times I often am left with the sinking feeling that somehow I have failed the game that I didn't want to play in the first place. This is how I often feel with icebreakers, and many other people often feel, because when presenting icebreakers, they always talk about how they have a better or more fun one or want to get over with it quickly, but there's never a better idea that's actually presented. You're always stuck between a rock and a hard place of just getting through the icebreaker, saying that interesting fact about yourself that you might not want to be too interesting or too uninteresting. But I really want to actually present some good icebreakers that might be fun and talk about some that you definitely want to avoid, or at least come up with pre-planned canned answers to in case they do arise, because they are popular ones and I see them pop up a lot. I have experience with these, unfortunately. So first, I want to talk about some better icebreakers than just a fun fact or using an adjective to describe yourself with the same letter as your first name. I want to start off with what I think is a pretty hard hitter, which my dad came up with, so full credit to him, which is, you were just arrested under federal criminal charges. What did you do? See, these kinds of questions are fun. Questions that actually ask you something very specific of a direct question and maybe make you think a little, but your answer shows off your personality beyond just saying like, oh yeah, my favorite animal is a cat. Like, that doesn't really help people get to know you. It's just random. But if you talk about something like a crime you commit, if you commit one, obviously, hypotheticals, then it might be more interesting and people might remember you for that, whether you want them to or not. So there's a danger there. But I think questions like these that fundamentally ask more specific questions are really good for icebreakers. So here's another one. Like, if you even ask someone about a favorite show, I think this is another good one because you can tell a lot about people based on what they watch and what they say. And it also might give you good ideas for like what you might want to watch. And you can see how people are different passions about the shows they watch or the media that they consume. Of course, this does require a good amount of thinking as well, but I feel like it's a lot less pressure than a more nebulous question about something broad like, what's your favorite media to consume might be a lot harder, but I think a specific favorite show, even a show you enjoy, because sometimes people don't like to work within the idea of having a favorite. I also think that talking about people's pets or an animal they'd want as a pet to broaden up to people who might not have pets is something that's engaging because a lot of people like either talking about their pets or animals. And you can keep it broader within the context of the question by just saying like, okay, if you could have any animal as a pet, what animal would you choose? Because then people can get creative and wild and you can kind of see a little bit of their personality shine through. Like, that's what I think an icebreaker should be. A way for you to see someone's personality, maybe ask a fun question that they're not expecting, but no one should have to have a moment of like, I don't want to do this, or dread when they hear an icebreaker. I often feel that dread, and I really don't like it because it doesn't make me feel part of the group. It makes me feel more isolated. Like, wait a minute, I don't want to be here. And you don't want people to not feel like they want to be at your thing when you're trying to get to know them. I also think there's something I've seen a lot that people talk about on Reddit, because I will say I have a lot of these recommendations were from Reddit that I kind of scrolled around just to see like what people have liked and what they haven't liked. And I only really took the ones that I agree with because, you know, some of them were a little out there. Like, no one likes dancing in front of a new group of people. And if you do, you're a little strange. I'm sorry, but it's typically not a thing people enjoy. But I have seen people talk about like hangman or other activities to guess people's names or nicknames, which seems kind of fun. So you'd like set up a hangman and you'd be able to guess someone's name. Of course, this is a longer icebreaker. It would take more time to do this kind of thing. But I think in the end, it really depends on the setting you're in. In a club, it might be more useful if you get a couple new members. But if you're in a classroom setting, obviously you might not want to spend 30 minutes trying to guess people's names via a hangman. But I know someone commented that if you have international students, it also might be interesting to get to an introduction to spelling and the way words work with each other. So it can be a good segue into other topics besides just getting to know people. And it's also more fun to guess someone's name and you kind of remember it better than if you just go around talking and people say their names. No one's going to remember that. And no one ever does. That's just a fact. Also, I had this one for a Model UN club in high school that I wanted to mention. It was about what type of pasta is your favorite, shape-wise. And they basically put up a huge diagram of a bunch of different shapes of pasta to pick from. People start talking about what pasta they liked eating dry versus cooked, which, you know, you can pick that angle too. That's a whole nother debate. Do we eat dry pasta or not? We're not going to get into that today. However, it was funny because you could see people like different shapes and you almost had to justify it, explain why you picked that shape. And that's fun. Like, that's something people want to do. And of course, this is Model UN, so people are definitely there to give their case and to argue. But you can also tailor things towards different places or clubs that you're in. Like, Model UN could also be like, if you wanted to pick a country you wanted to visit, what would be the top one? Or have you gone outside the US before? And what was your favorite place to travel? Or what's your favorite state to visit? Something like that, that might be more topical. And of course, like, these aren't the best icebreakers in the world. You get bare minimum facts at the least, but at least you're centering people on like, hey, this is the fact we're talking about. We're talking about travel. We're talking about food. We're talking about something that a lot of people can relate to or want to relate to, as opposed to just being like, oh yeah, pick a fact, anything of your life. And then you'll secretly get judged for it. But if everyone's kind of going on the same theme, then I feel like there's less judgment, there's less strangeness when presenting your case. But now I want to talk about the ones that I would really, really enjoy being asked. And these are more existential high-risk questions. Kind of going back to the one that my dad asked, something that requires you to think a little outside the box, but still within the same realm of like, you're sticking to one topic. Like, one example is if your best friend needed you to bury a body, would you do it? Or if you find out one of your friends is cheating on their partner, do you tell them or do you not tell them? Something like that. Something where it's like, oh, what kind of person are you? And obviously, I know these are not good icebreakers necessarily, because it is a little bit of pressure on, like, what are you going to say and how people are going to perceive you because of what you think about certain situations. But I personally think questions like this that are a little more existential, but also like you can laugh over and like argue or talk about in a wider discussion, are interesting because you actually get people's real perspective on issues. You get them to open up and be like, no, I don't like that. Or yeah, I actually agree with you. That's interesting. I mean, it's an easy way to make enemies early on too. You can find out who you do like in a group and who you don't like in a group. And that's always important because the sooner you find that out, the sooner you can get your priorities in order. I'm only joking about that. But I do think it's important to be able to like foster this idea of having discussions and talking with people beyond just really, really strict like, okay, interesting fact, let's move on now. So I would say like these kind of broader questions that are existential can also be really fun as long as they're more focused. But next, I want to talk about some of the icebreakers that I think are awful, that should never be used, and maybe how to spin them differently or what to do if you get them. But I really think, like, ultimately, the main theme of the ones that you do want to do is make them more specific, make them more friendly and accessible to people. And the theme of the ones you don't want to do is the exact opposite of that. Things that are inaccessible, also, frankly, just something most people don't enjoy partaking in. Like, as I mentioned before, the first one clearly on this list, anything that makes you sing or dance, automatically no. I don't want to be singing people's names. I don't want to be dancing to weird beats that people make up, especially not on my first meeting, because already everyone's already too self-conscious. They're worried about how they're thinking. They're not going to focus on what that person's name is. They're going to focus on, do I look cool? And anytime you are in a situation like that, it's not a good icebreaker. The ice is not being broken. And that's the whole point of an icebreaker. So if you can't at least, like, make people feel comfortable, then there's, like, no point to the icebreaker, if that makes any sense. But I stand strongly on that. Another one I think that sucks is anything that you have to do where you have to, like, memorize someone's name. So if you have to remember someone's name or, like, recite their name while singing and dancing, that's one I've seen before. Hate it. Please never do that, guys. It's not fun at all. But let's move along. Another one that I really hate is anything that asks me to answer, like, a ton of questions. Like, I did this one for one of my, like, student orientations, where basically we had a bunch of questions written on a beach ball, and you tossed it around, and you had to say people's names as you tossed it to them. I know, this is, like, a combination of my worst nightmare. And then when your hand landed on one of the things on the beach ball, one of the questions, you had to answer it. The only thing though was, like, everyone got the same questions, obviously, but, like, all the answers were pretty boring because they were not very deep questions. Like, they weren't that interesting. It was, like, mountain or beach. And it's like, okay, it was only so many times I can hear beach or mountain. And also, it's like, you're asking me to answer a bunch of questions. No one's going to remember my answers. No one's going to think they're cool. And I know that's not the point, but, like, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. So I feel like when you have a ton of questions you're asking and you make them all kind of part of a game where you have to know people's names and then answer all these questions, it can get a little tiresome. It was especially because this one also had you say, like, three facts about yourself and you had to put it in the middle and you had to guess other people. And it's like, I don't know who you are based on your facts. Like, one of the people were like, I have a tattoo. Anyone in this room could have a tattoo. I just can't see it because we're all wearing clothes. So it's one of those things where I feel like you jumped the gun a little early. So to add the beach ball after that was just another, or maybe it was before, regardless. It was just another step that I was like, this is a little too much for me. So I think moderation in the icebreakers you do is important. Because that group, I didn't really get to know them that well because we were so busy playing games and, like, doing stuff that it felt very canned. It felt very cheap almost. So I think, again, like, moderation, knowing how far is too far with the icebreakers is really important. But next is something that I didn't even realize was going to be a problem, but quickly became a problem with icebreakers, is one of the clubs I'm in. It's about ambassadorship for the College of Science in the school I go to. And a lot of the icebreaker questions would be like, of the executive board, who do you think would win in Hunger Games? Please no. I was a new member. I did not know the executive board that well. Who am I supposed to put? And, like, they can see the answers. So, like, what if I put someone who was really bad? Or what if I put someone who was really good? Or what if I wasn't funny? Like, there's a lot of worries I had in my head because I just didn't know anyone on the executive board. So I really had to write in my answer thing, like, I don't know. And of course, like, that's not the greatest answer to have to a icebreaker question. But really, those ones are, I feel like, are rigged so that only people who are in the in-group can answer them. So I don't like things that are specific to people. Like, oh, of these groups of people, who's going to have the most fun? Who's going to pull out the best dance moves? Who's going to get the most drunk? That kind of thing I'm really not on board with. Because what if I don't know you very well? Like, again, my issue is accessibility. This kind of strengthens the ice. It makes it so I feel like I have to punch through more of a wall just to feel comfortable rather than, like, get into it right away. Like, some of the other people in my year were like, oh, yeah, I know this immediately. But for me, like, I didn't know the exec board that well, so it was a little like, okay, thanks, guys. So I really think that's important, too, to consider. Like, don't make it so that people don't want to answer your question and treat it like something it's not. And ultimately, if you are in that situation, I think you can just put down a random answer. Like, I don't think it really matters, and you don't even need to write a reason. Or you can even write, I don't know. I think it never hurts to write, I don't know, on something like that. The only thing is, like, these questions are mandatory for attendance. Otherwise, I probably would not have answered it. But I think it's important to consider that when you're creating an icebreaker, you want it to be something that people are engaged with and have fun. But at the same time, like, the purpose of the icebreaker, as I mentioned earlier, is to break ice. It's to make people comfortable. And if you're not able to do that, there's really no point. So singing or dancing, don't do that. Unless, like, if you're in a theater group or a musical group, okay, yeah, then you sing and dance. Then it's funny. Like, you have to know your audience, know the context you're in. If you're with a bunch of science kids who like math, do not make them sing and dance. That's, like, the worst nightmare. I can attest to it. So I think it really is important to consider who the audience is. And as someone who has done a lot of icebreakers, all I can say is I still hate them. But if I ever get a good one, I will remember it and I will be happy about it and it will be very satisfying. And I hope that more people are willing to step outside the typical confines of icebreakers and give me some good ones, because I'm very tired of the interesting fact. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Jackie On. I'll see you in the next one.